And welcome into the second hour of the Game Blitz right here, 102.5, 106 through the game. Big Joe alongside Elijah Campbell, Big Kenny behind the glass making it happen. Quarterfinal action of high school football tonight. We appreciate all of our guests in the last hour, Coach Will Kreisky at Riverdale, John Davidson on the call at the Henry County Springfield game, and of course, Eddie Cunningham, the head football coach in Lincoln County, and their very unique perspectives. Very unique is redundant. My bad. They're unique perspectives.
Look at you.
I know. I'm so sorry.
Editing on air.
They're unique perspectives of all the games. But as we do at the top and the bottom of the hour, it is scoreboard time. Hit it, Kenny.
All right. I was just getting a note that we have someone who's at the Nolensville games. We're getting reports.
My man.
My brain, I cannot chew gum and walk at the same time.
God, that look in your face is like, oh no.
Like, wait a minute.
All right. So starting off in the east side of the state, they are in a time machine. They're an hour ahead of us. So whenever the new year starts, they get to experience the new year an hour before we do. Isn't that crazy?
Are we stalling?
No, I have it pulled up right here. This is a fun fact for you. CPA at Chattanooga Christian. That game was halftime, CPA 21-7?
Getting close to halftime.
CPA's got a lead over Chattanooga Christian. Right now, Lipscomb is playing at Knox Webb. Joe, did you get an update from that?
Yeah, Lipscomb's up 20-7, 3 minutes to go in the first half.
Wow, and well, Knox
a little closer than I thought. Yes,
That's two of the final teams, and Elijah Campbell's undefeated club here. Brentwood Academy playing Baylor tonight, hosting them. That's a big game in Division 2-3A. Beach at Cane Ridge tonight. That's the MyTV 30 game, and our man Lance Mackey will be in the house for that one. Gordonsville at Clay County, a matchup of two 1A juggernauts, teams that played just a couple weeks ago. Clay County was victorious and won their region from that game. Chattanooga Tyner is at East Robertson, front of the show, Coach Chase Brooks. That is a big one tonight. Tyner probably, you would say, the favorite in that game. They've been dominant all year. So is East Robertson. That'll be a good one to keep an eye on. USJ at Friendship Christian. Sweetwater is at Giles County. Riverside at Lewis County. Big game there as well. McCauley at NBA, a rematch of last year's state championship game, Division 2-3A. Jackson Christian is at Nashville Christian tonight. We need to come up with a nickname for that one. Two Christian schools. I don't know if...
Pass.
Predominantly Protestant here. Right. The Protestant Bowl. I don't know. We'll workshop.
Right.
Page at Nolensville. One of the games of the night, a rematch of that epic game that we had in the regular season. That's going to be a fun one. Blackman at Oakland. East Nashville at Smith County. A rematch from a region championship from just a few weeks ago. I know Kenny is on edge. Monterey at York Institute. York can, if they'll win tonight, puts them in the semifinals for the second time in school history. I assume it'll be the first time for Monterey. They don't have an extensive football history. Pearl Cone will be at Lexington tonight. And then, of course, Springfield at Henry County. Another epic rematch. Not to forget, in 1A, a battle of the juggernauts. Two undefeated teams. Fayetteville at McKenzie. A potential... not championship preview, obviously, but it's one of those winner this game probably is the favorite to win in 1A. And there you go. That's all. That's the slate tonight. It's juicy.
I love it. Great job there, Elijah. Get it all done and in there at the last second, too. Well done with
doing
all that.
Doing things at the last second is what I'm best at.
I love, you know, we talk about East Robertson. We had Chase Brooks, a head football coach, on the air. You know, it's funny. We start with this off on August 19th, and you got, you know, this clean slate of all the teams, but you know certain teams are going to be in there. You know, the Oakland's going to be in there, and NBA, and on, you know, Henry County and on. But East Robertson was a team that caught our eye probably about the third weekend. They lost to Macon County Tough, and they beat White House Heritage, and beat Trousdale, knocked off Cheatham County. But they shut out Harpeth 42-0, then rolled to beat Joe Burns 41-0. And then they just took off. They beat Watertown, Westmoreland, Forest, Whites Creek, mm-hmm. Polk County, went to wins in the playoffs. And then we find out that the head football coach at East Robertson, Chase Brooks, doesn't take over this team to late March, early April.
Yep.
So he misses all this time in November and December and January and February and March when you get your winter workouts going on. He might be, and this is probably shooting it out there, coach of the year for what he's had to go through and where they are now.
In terms of the more impressive coaching jobs that has existed in the state this year, you got to put Chase Brooks' name in there. And to just be able to rally from that first loss, kind of get everything together and progress the way they have. I mean, they're two playoff wins, Joe, 55-28 and 38-14. Bledsoe County was a really good team, and they did not stand a chance against East Robertson. And a lot that helps, too, is East Robertson had to kind of play with a hand behind their back because they had a lot of injuries early in the season. They didn't get Elijah Groves back, fantastic first name, until later on in the season as an extra, you know, perimeter weapon that this team greatly needed. But if you want to talk about, like, roster construction, now that everybody's, you know, back and healthy, this is, when at 100%, they're one of the best lineups in all of 2A. Tonight against Tyner is going to be a really fun game, too. Tyner was undefeated, I believe, basically until the last week of the regular season or in the last 2 weeks of the regular season. They were a buzzsaw that ran through the region ahead of them. I think this is kind of it was a collision course game of now of two 11-1 teams. Or Tyner's only loss was at Alcoa on October 21st.
Wow.
And they ran through Westmoreland last week 42-17. So that might be a game, too, that we haven't talked about tonight as much. But in terms of just quality football and great even matchups,
yeah,
that's either of those teams can win state in 2A. Obviously, every team that's in it now obviously is a contender to win state. But, I mean, the road's going to go through one of these two teams.
Westmoreland played East Robertson beat Westmoreland 29-7 back on October the 14th. I do that for comparison because people like those comparisons, but sometimes those are unfair because, you know, you might have a player or two out. We talked with a coach earlier, Coach Kreisky, who said they played Blackman and they had a couple of their big guns out. So, you know, they had a close game with them, so it's really unfair to do that. But at the same time, I just think the job that Chase Brooks has done, plus he loves this show.
I mean, never have we had a coach join us twice in one night. That right. man made history. He immediately became my favorite coach. Maybe that's, I guess, Paola-ing right. your way to Coach of the Year votes, but I mean, he got my vote because he's basically our friend.
It could be. You had a good one earlier about Fayetteville. Now, I know Fayetteville is not in the actually – you know, in our area here that borders Davidson County, but
not
it's still Middle Tennessee.
Area. Yeah.
And, you know, we got the app. They can listen to us on the app down there. But what a great job Fayetteville's done. They won the state title 2 or 3 years ago. Was it 20 or 19?
I think that was 19. It could have been 20. Actually, I have that information here at my fingertips with this fantastic book here.
So they've got to go on the road, Fayetteville, now take on McKenzie. Fayetteville's 12-0. McKenzie's also 12-0.
McKenzie, yeah.
McKenzie's dropped 63. They beat Wayne County 63-0 and beat Moab County 56-21. Meanwhile, Fayetteville knocked off South Fulton 75-28.
That's a lot of points, Joe Dillon.
Dresden 42-17. So now Fayetteville takes on McKenzie tonight down in 1A. Well, of course, we root for the Middle Tennessee teams to go all the way. The top bracket up there, Clay County and Gordonsville, which Gordonsville, a huge win last week
upset
over South
win.
Pitt.
Yeah. Yeah, on the road against the defending 1A state champs. They went to South Pitt and pulled off that win 14-7. It's 14-7 early, and they just fought them off the entire game. Scratch and clawed their way out of that game to force the rematch against Clay County tonight. Those two teams played 2 weeks ago. It was a 27-20 game, and that was a very evenly matched, great finish. I'm expecting the same thing tonight. Those are two communities that get into high school football. And in terms of 1A programs, Gordonsville is always competitive, seemingly. In Clay County, when they're good, they're really good. And that's one of those unique environments, too, seemingly in the middle of nowhere. You ever been to Salina, Tennessee, Joe Dubin?
No, but here's what you would make a fantastic meteorologist. Because you know all these cities and these counties.
I just lived here for a long time.
So have I. But I couldn't tell you what towns in Clay County.
Salina, Tennessee.
I couldn't tell you. I know where Salina is. I couldn't tell you what county it's in.
Played basketball there a few times back in my day.
You would be a great – maybe we should rethink your future.
We might have to.
Are you 21 yet?
Barely, yeah.
We should do that. Gordonsville played Clay County regular season, lost 27-20, so a little revenge maybe tonight for that.
It could be. And if you're Gordonsville, the mental hurdle of getting past like a South Pittsburgh, and it's like – we're a better team than we were a couple of weeks ago, you know, and having that mental hurdle to jump over the defending state champion, like that's got to weigh in for those kids a lot. Like that's going to be an exciting matchup. Obviously, not a lot of people are going to be, I guess, from around here at that game. You have a lot of games like, you know, in Davidson County that are big and everything, but that might be in terms of closeness or competitiveness. It might be the best game of the night just because those teams are that competitive. They're not too far away from each other, I don't believe.
Right.
It actually is a little bit of a drive. But if you like good 1A football, like this is another. Fayetteville, McKenzie, Gordonsville, and Clay County. I feel like the state's going through one of those four teams.
I love it. We had an early score. Smith County's up on East Nashville 7-0. I'm a little surprised at that they've, because the game just kicked off.
Yeah, they must have either run the opening kickoff back or a pick six or some just big play early. And that was a game, Joe Dubin, last week, not like 2 weeks ago, 15-14.
That's correct.
They played, you know, combined for under 30 points. They were at a premium. So if it's anything like it was in the first meeting, that's a significant first play, you know, touchdown.
Also, real quick, Clay County just scored over Gordonsville 7-0. So Clay County leading
strike
Gordonsville.
First.
Yeah.
And our potential 1A champions coming out of that game.
You know, it's crazy. These teams that run the football, these games are over in like 45 minutes because the clock just keeps going and going and going and going. I mean, it's already –
I love it.
The Clay County Gordonsville game is already halfway through the first quarter.
Wow.
It's
been the game's been going on for 10 minutes and they're about done with a quarter. That's efficient. The kids are going to be home by 9.
Yeah, right.
It's amazing.
We got 3 more hours to fill after that too. So keep the game going as long as they can. Let's see. It's 20. Lipscomb is leads 20-7 now, going to the third quarter over Knoxville Webb. It seems that the Knoxville Webb was driving, and then Caleb Beasley, Tennessee commit with interception on the final play of the first half. Mustangs lead 20-7, and it looks like Knox Webb gets the ball to start the second half, and they come back out there for that. Surprises that score a little bit, I thought?
That it's that close, yeah. Knox Webb's the only other undefeated team in that classification, so this does kind of feel like a quasi-state championship just because, you know, there's four teams left. The two undefeated teams are playing each other tonight. The closest game I think that anyone has had to beating Lipscomb, I need to look that up because it is they're a buzzsaw and they have just ran through the entire state. They put up 70 points in the first half last week against Silverdale. I don't think a team has gotten within 3 touchdowns of them this year. So the fact that it's a 13-point game at halftime is pretty significant. So 77-13 last week, 70-0 against BGA. CPA kept it 43-21.
Remember, CPA was up 21-13, right? Didn't Lipscomb roll off like 30 points after that?
I think that might have been the case. I think that was the only real competitive game they've had against a team that's in the state. Now, they had a 10-point win against Milton, Georgia, and a 10-point win against Thompson, Alabama. But within teams that are actually in the great state of Tennessee, CPA is the only one that's been able to give them any kind of a game. That ended up being a 22-point beatdown.
And Pure Youth Sports gave them a little battle there too, but
are they real? I've never heard of Pure Youth Alliance until this year, and
they played a homeschooled school.
It might be. I don't know. They played Pope John Paul this year, so it's like I've heard of them. I've never physically seen them.
Right. There's also a Tennessee Heat, like a school or a.
I covered a game of theirs a couple of years ago, and they played DCA, and that is definitely a homeschool team, and they did not stand it. Those poor kids did not stand a chance.
They beat DCA the night in basketball. Tennessee Heat
what?
Did. Yeah. I kid you not.
Basketball, I guess it's a little less surprising because, you know, in high school basketball, that classification, you have one or two kids that can really ball.
That's right.
That's going to make a world of difference. But that is still a little surprising. That is definitely like a homeschooled association kind of deal.
Do you enjoy writing on college basketball?
Oh, I love it.
330 teams? How many teams?
I think we're in, I think there's 356,
what?
57. Because they added a few this year. Texas A&M Commerce. You ever heard of Texas A&M Commerce?
I've heard of Commerce.
Well, you've heard of Texas A&M. Well, combine the two. That is now a Division I school I was playing this year.
Oh,
you heard
great.
Of Queens?
I have.
You've been to Dairy Queen?
Yeah, I have.
Not the same thing, but Queens College, now Division I. They joined the party.
Is that in Charlotte?
Year.
What's a school that's in Charlotte named Queens? Is that Charlotte?
I don't know. That's the Queen City.
It is a Queen City. Man, the Queen needs a college to go over there.
And I guess that would be Queens. I don't know where Queens is, actually, but they actually beat Marshall.
Right now, somebody's screaming at the radio, like, you idiots. It's some town somewhere.
Foolish.
We're around. All right, we'll take another break. We got more scores on the other side as the games are rolling. We got some games East Tennessee nearing the halftime. And, of course, games for Middle Tennessee just kicked off. This is a Game Blitz brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in here to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106 for the game. All the games are underway across the state of Tennessee in the quarterfinal action. Quick update. Thank you, D1 Highlights, tweeting into the show. 0-0 East Robertson. They had a long drive to start the game that falls short on 4th and 9. Couldn't convert, but I like the fact they went for it on 4th and 9. Elijah, you got more updates, brother?
We do, yes. So a lot of action here in Smith County and East Nashville. Last time we heard Smith County scored very beginning, we were like, yo, well, that must have happened, you know, in the first play or a big play, you know, in the first drive of the game or whatever. But what happened was, this is via Rusty Ellis from the Upper Cumberland Reporter, feeding me the info here. Smith County got up 7-0 after recovering a fumble on the opening kickoff. Mm. Caden Powell then scored a 3-yard touchdown run. Extra point was good. 4:03 to go in the first quarter. A Smith County fumble on a punt led to points for East Nashville. Zach Beard carried in a touchdown, but the two-point conversion was no good. So with 4:03 to go in quarter one, Smith County leads Nashville, East Nashville, 7-6.
Well done there.
I'll take it.
Yeah, you'll
take it. You're still in it. It's a lot of ball game left.
Right. We got to get Coach Stewart at East Nashville a kicker. He needs a kicker.
They're going for two every time. They've done it
all
year. I like
that, though. I'll be quiet. I like going for two every time, too.
I love coaches that play or play call like I play on Madden. I go for two every time. I love it. It's so much fun.
Do you got friends when you play those games, those football games, who get mad because it'd be like 4th and 32 and you'll go for it? Like, that would never happen in a real game.
Or they're just like, that's so dumb. Why would you do that? I'm like, because it's a video game and I can do whatever I want. Like, that's the best part. I hate punting in video games. Like, it's so
same.
Fun, man. Yeah.
Same. I think punters are, don't get me started on all that stuff because I'd go for it every single time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I like that coach in.
Is that Presbyterian?
Yeah.
That did punter kick all year.
He got fired, right? After 1 year?
After 1 year.
Yeah. Because that just didn't work there. But I understand all that. We're watching the Beach Cane Ridge game. Cane Ridge drove down the field, got the ball inside the 20-yard line. Interception. Beach got it, ran it out of the end zone. And the guy that intercepted the pass, he took a shot.
Oh, yeah. That was
sideline.
Yeah, one of the tackles for Cane Ridge was able to catch up to him at the sideline, and he met him there. And not in a friendly manner of meeting him.
Right, got him there. Sweetwater, Giles County, that's another game that I wish we could clone ourselves and go to. Sweetwater up on Giles County, 7-0. We had Coach Eddie Cunningham in Lincoln County said he's headed that game tonight and a great program that Giles County has down there. It's another program doesn't get talked about a lot here because you don't see the program every day here, but every year Giles County seems to make the second round, quarterfinals, and a little beyond that.
They have a fantastic program, and they've done a really, really good job of building that over the years. And even from the days of Bo Wallace, who you might know as the Ole Miss quarterback in his first or one of his years at Ole Miss, beat Alabama and led them to some successful seasons. It was Giles County legend. But our man Wade Neely tweeted out earlier that Sweetwater's on the board first, 7-0. The Wildcats punt, but then recover a Giles County fumble on first down and then score on a 5-yard fourth down play later on. So they're up with 6:17 to go in quarter number one. Sweetwater is 7-0. So they're in a battle. Sweetwater's a really, really good team, a team that probably hasn't been tested as much as Giles County has, but I mean, turnovers are big, and if you turn the ball over in situations like that, even a team that you're better than can hang around there, and when you hang around, that's when anything starts happening.
That's right, and the winner of that game gets to take on, lucky them, Alcoa, which is up over Gatlinburg-Pittman right now, 42-0.
Oh, my God.
So, rolling in. The good news is that game next week will be at, if Giles County can win, that game's at Giles County.
Okay.
If they win, if not, Sweetwater hosts that game. But Alcoa, which Gary Rankin retired and got another job at Boyd Buchanan down at Chattanooga, longtime coach at Riverdale High School, great coach. I mean, just probably the best high school football coach.
He's won 17 state titles.
In the history of state. And that's saying a lot because there's so many great coaches. He's up there in the top five with all that.
Certainly
so
most accomplished.
You get to wear that. Now, we've talked about 3A all year long because of with Waverly and Fairview, and now we got Smith County, East Nashville. I knew East Nashville would be there. I thought maybe Waverly or Fairview, if you go back to like week 9 or 10, you're trying to predict going to the playoffs, would be there. But Smith County pleasantly surprised me, Elijah, just because it kind of came out of nowhere. I know that's ignorant to say because they've been good all year long. I didn't pay that much attention to it.
I know what you're saying there, too. They were quietly really good because, I mean, you look at Smith County's schedule, they're in the non-region. You look at East Nashville's in the non-region. I mean, East Nashville started off as our game of the week with them against Father Ryan.
Right.
And, like, the teams that East Nashville beat early on in the season, you know, Father Ryan by a couple touchdowns, They beat Independence 32-7, Green Hill 53-21. They played Riverdale where they got their first loss, but those, you know, are juggernauts, right? Well, Smith County, well, now that we know how good of a team Gordonsville is, that was Smith County's opener, was against Gordonsville. They lost to DeKalb County. Other non-region games include at Westmoreland, at Walker Valley, Trousdale County, Macon County. Maybe not necessarily, now the Macon County game obviously ended up being a little more impressive later on in the season because Macon County had one of their best years in their school history this year as well. But they just didn't have a lot of the sexier matchups outside of that region. But they kept winning. They just kept quietly winning those games, doing what they had to do. And by the time that they got in the position to have a winner-take region game in at the very end of the season,
right,
they took advantage of it. And now they have to turn around and do it again. Well, they're off to a good start right now. That's if they beat East Nashville twice, if they're able to pull that off, that is a pretty impressive feat for that team that has very quietly had a great 9-1 season.
It is. Lexington just scored the lead, Pearl Cone, 7-0, 4 minutes to go in the first. Thank you, Tim Swift, for covering that game right now. I'm a little shocked about that one. I know it's early. I get it.
Yeah.
Pearl Cone can still win 60-7. I get that. But
they have that switch. It's one of those teams in the state that just have that. Like,
just a little shocked on that. Has anybody challenged? I mean, I know they lost a couple of games out of region.
Yeah,
but has anybody in 4A challenged Pearl Cone? And I don't mean to put you on the spot there, but.
That's where I thrive, Joe Dubin.
That is where you thrive.
They lost their first two games of the year because they played at Cane Ridge and lost 17-14, lost at the buzzer. Cane Ridge hit a field goal at the buzzer.
That's right.
To win that game. NBA beat them pretty good, but ever since those two games, they beat Hillwood 58-0, Creekwood 35-7, Lawrence County 55-7, Tullahoma 45-0, Glencliff 77-0, Marshall County 35-23, Greenbrier 19-6, Montgomery Central 43-2, and then in the playoff games, they beat Jackson Southside 38-0 and Hardin County 54-21. So to answer your question, no.
That's crazy with all that going on. And what's the closest one was Marshall County. And Marshall County lost at Lexington last week in the last minute of that game as well. So we talk about it every week. I mean, there's some great football. I know we do the Division 1, 2, and 3. The Division 2A.
2A, 3A.
There we go. Thank you. Yeah. I'm so glad you're here.
A lot of letters.
And then the 6A and 5A. But we have really, and I love this, we've spent so much time on 4, 3, 2, and 1A football because it's so competitive and so good.
It's so competitive, and that's where a lot of the passion is, right? Like, there's a lot of history and passion in the Gordonsville program. There's a lot of history and passion in the Pearl Cone program. There's a lot of history and passion recently in Fayetteville. You know, it's, a newer school, but recently, they have had tremendous success. There's a lot of history and a lot of these, history in York's program. You know, York's had some good teams in the last couple of decades. That's a small town that's crazy about their high school football. That's where you get a lot of those unique venues, very unique drives to those venues for those who've ever had to cover games out there. God bless you. But that's where a lot of the gold is in Tennessee high school football, is in a lot of those smaller schools. And it can be, it can vary from year to year because look at Trousdale County, historical powerhouse in 2A. They're 1A, 2A every year. They're 2A now, but they've been 1A for a long time.
Yeah.
Kevin Creasy won state titles with them all the time back in the day. But they won two games this year, I think, two or three games. And it's up and down, but you have a lot of historical powers like that that make 1A, 2A, 3A football like a ton of fun.
I got some bad news for you.
Oh, no.
Second quarter. Springfield 13, Henry County 0.
Uh-oh, 13-0.
So we need to destroy the tapes where you want to be on the Henry County bandwagon and switch that to Springfield.
We can splice those easily. Yeah, that's nothing. A little post-production can be done. So when everyone's like, oh, you're on Henry County all year, let's re-roll the tape. And then we can just splice it to where I just go Springfield and put that into all my Henry County bandwagon. Yeah, see, Kenny's got this.
Good job, Kenny. Real quick before we go to the break, Clay County scored again, leading Gordonsville 14-0.
Wow. If we get some blowouts tonight, I'll be a little disappointed, but also a little impressed, because beating a team twice in the same year, because like all the rematches that we got tonight are rematches of really great, close, competitive games.
Right.
For anybody that blows a team out after beating them in a close game in the first meeting, like that's, you prepared really well, you executed a game plan perfectly, and you did something in that game that you did not do as well in the first one. And it's an impressive feat to turn around and just drop the hammer like that.
And say, great, we got to do it again next week. All good.
I guess
all
need right. a better team.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Elijah will give a complete score update as we do at the top and the bottom of the hour right here. Listen to the Game Blitz until midnight on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by our great friends at Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We got you till midnight. Quarterfinal action that's happening all across the state of Tennessee. And it's another fantastic night of high school football. What's great about this is that all of a sudden you have no score, and then you refresh your computer and you have like 47 scores come flying through you at one time. So that's without further ado, the top and the bottom of the hour, it's time for the scoreboard update. Hit it, Kenny.
Yes. Let's go ahead and start. Speaking of Kenny, the Fighting Kenny Adams is of East Nashville. We're down 7-6 last time we checked. They scored a touchdown, a 17-yard run. Puts them back in the lead, up 12-7, two-point conversion. Unfortunately, no good. So that's 12-7 East Nashville leads against Smith County. That's in the second quarter. CPA up on Chattanooga Christian, 21-7. Lipscomb Academy up on Knox Webb, 20-7. That's over on the east side of the state. Springfield up on Henry County. It was 13-0, but the Patriots of Henry County, they are on the board. They score a touchdown. That game is now 13-7. Clay County in a rematch against Gordonsville. They're up 14-0 on them in the first half. Lexington up on Pearl Cone, 7-0. A little surprise there so far. Beach up on Cane Ridge at Cane Ridge, 7-0. Nolensville and Page, also 7-0. Nolensville has the lead right now. Chattanooga Tyner, they strike first against East Robertson. They lead 7-0. Brentwood Academy and Baylor, they are tied right now at 7 last time I saw. Friendship Christian, they're up 7-0 on USJ. That is the University School of Jackson, for those who aren't familiar. Oakland, Eric Taylor gets on the board first on a touchdown run in the first quarter. They're up on Blackman, 7-0. Nashville Christian, they are up on Jackson Christian, 14-7. Sweetwater leads Giles County, 7-0. And last time we checked, that was previously known in the first quarter. No update on Fayetteville McKenzie yet. Have not been able to find anything on that one. So nothing on that, nothing on Monterey York Institute just yet. That's a big one. York can make some serious history. They win. That's only the second time in school history that they will be in a state semifinal. So that, I believe, is all the games in Middle Tennessee.
NBA, did you have NBA?
Oh, NBA McCall, I did not.
They just scored, NBA did. Tyler Palmateer, Main Street Preps, who's a fantastic writer.
Very
good. Then Marcel Reed to Blake Ragsdale, 9-yard touchdown. NBA's up 7-0. Over McCauley right now in the first quarter.
A rematch of the 2021 Division II.
It is. And that's your scoreboard update. Let's go right now to the our phone lines brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises. Lance Mackey's at the Cane Ridge Beach game. What's up, Lance?
What's up, guys? We got a great game here at Cane Ridge. It's been a great start. Wanted to shoot you all over a quick update. I know you're probably watching it on TV, but we got a good one here tonight.
We like your updates better, though.
Yes.
Oh, you do? Okay, good. Cane Ridge won the toss, got the ball, drove all the way down the field, and on third and goal, Abdullah's pass was tipped and intercepted by Beach. Beach has only thrown the ball 108 times this year, and on their second pass of the day, they threw a 41-yard touchdown to J.P. Courtney. It's 7-0 Beach with Cane Ridge with the ball right now.
How's the atmosphere there tonight?
Oh, it's excellent. It was great here last week, but you definitely feel it a little bit more from the road crowd here today. Took a little wind out of the sails after that interception, but the crowd's back in it here on this second drive for the Ravens.
Did you get any good food there tonight, Lance?
No, but I'm thinking about walking over to the Snack Shack now. What do you think I should get?
Ooh, a Snack Shack.
What do you think?
Good marketing.
Ham.
Cheeseburgers, man. It's cheeseburger weather, baby.
Get two cheeseburgers, will you? And drop one off here later on.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll eat two for you, and then I'll try to bring you one, too.
Well, you said last week you're going to bring us tacos, and Kenny and I waited.
I was about to say he owes us, right?
We waited till 3 o'clock in the morning. Finally, I said, Kenny, just go home. I'll bring you tacos tomorrow.
Oh. Yeah, that's a running tab.
Oh, man. All right. Well, Kenny, make sure you buzz me in this time.
All right, man. I got you.
All right, Lance, we appreciate you. The game's back in the second quarter. Thanks for the update.
Yes, sir.
Another quick thing. Stuff. Springfield has scored again, 84-yard touchdown pass.
Wow.
Thank you, John Davidson. They lead 19-7. The game's in the second quarter. And McCauley just scored. They tied NBA at 7. So well on the scores. Games underway tonight.
Wow, 19-7. So as soon as Henry County gets themselves back in the game, it sounds maybe a busted coverage. I don't know, but 80-plus yard touchdown pass to increase that lead. It's impressive. That game at Henry County when they played first in the season back in the regular season back in September 30th, that game was in Springfield.
I got a quick update on Blackman. Says they're up over Oakland 9-7.
9-7. Wow.
I'm seeing that from two different places. So okay. I don't know.
Way to double source your story there, your reporting there. That is good journalism. It's big J journalism there.
But that is, I hate when there's a 9 because I'm like, all right, did they score a touchdown and get a safety? Did they score a touchdown, miss extra point, and get a field goal? I mean, there's all these questions in my mind.
Yeah. But if they're up 9-7, then that means they got, you know, hit in the mouth early with that touchdown drive that Oakland was able to sustain, and they responded. And if that's the case, then if they're able to go blow for blow with Oakland tonight, maybe that game is going to be a lot closer than we anticipated.
I'm looking. Is Oakland – I know Ravenwood played them really tough into the third quarter.
That, yeah, ended up being a 2-touchdown game, I think.
Exclude the CPA loss. Mm-hmm. Has Oakland been behind at halftime?
I don't even think they were behind at halftime at Ravenwood. I think that was a one-score game at halftime, and that's what made it so intriguing. I don't think they were actually down at halftime in that game.
I'm trying to find their scores throughout the season. I don't think anybody's come close to beating them like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you might be right.
I'm very rarely right. Correct.
But this could be, you know, a broke clock, you know, they say about it. It's right twice a day.
I love telling people, it's like you're always, you know, I said, you know, the last time I was wrong was Mondale back in 84. And it just confuses people so much because that's when Reagan won like 49 states.
Oh, yeah. The Mondale, to a clean sweep.
And Mondale won Minnesota, and that was his home state. It was just a demolishing win for Reagan. And so you tell people that, and they look it up, and they're like, really? I'm like, I was 15 during that. I couldn't have voted anyway back in the 84 election.
But you called it.
I did call
it. You called it.
I got it right in there. So I guess early on the games that surprised me, I guess probably Springfield. Is that the one that's 19-7?
I think that's the biggest surprise. And that would be such an impressive win for Springfield, not only to come back and kind of get that revenge win and do it in the playoffs, but having to go on the road to do it. It's not the easiest trek from Springfield to Paris, Tennessee. It isn't. You heard our man John Davidson when he came on with us before their game kicked off, that a lot of their region games, they're kind of in a weird region. Traveling to Springfield and Portland isn't necessarily, you know, like going down the road to the store. Like that's a little bit of a haul, you know. You got to hop in the bus, and it's going to eat some time. Not an easy commute. And for them to be able to go to Henry County with the environment they had, where they've had multiple tailgate parties, I mean, it sounded like they were having a
good time,
a gnarly good time right there in Paris. For Springfield to come in there and to hit him in the mouth early, get a 19-7 lead, and kind of be the Baby Ruth in the punch bowl, I'm sure they are tickled pink to get this little bit of a cushion in the first half.
McKenzie's now up over Fayetteville 14-0. We got to stop talking about teams like Fayetteville, how great they are, because every time we talk about them, they fall behind.
Well, that's because we have not given the proper context. Obviously, McKenzie over in Carroll County out west, that team probably should get a little more discussion. We don't talk about them, obviously, because they are on the west side. But McKenzie is one of those traditional 1A powers. They also have been just clubbing teams all year long. You look at a lot of the games they've played this year. Obviously, there's maybe four or five teams in 1A that you can consider serious contenders. But McKenzie has beaten some of those serious contenders like an absolute drum. Like some of their scores this year, like a 54-6 win against a playoff team in South Fulton. Obion County was a playoff team, 49-14. Beat West Carroll, playoff team, beat them 51-0. Dresden was 40-7. They had a 56-0 win against Gleason. Beat Brewston 49-0 in the playoffs. They beat Wayne County in the first round 63-0. And then Moore County, who went into that game 11-1, they beat them 56-21.
Wow.
McKenzie's good.
Update for your quick. It's now tied 7-7, Page in Nolensville. Page goes for a field goal. Bad snap. It's from Joe Spears from the Tennessee. And a bad snap on the field goal leads Colin Hurd tossing up and finding a wide open Eric Hazard in the end zone. So if you watch a play on Twitter, if a field goal just goes south badly, this receiver just goes straight to the back of the end zone. I mean, that is excellent coaching by Coach Rathbone at Page to send the guy just to take off to the back of the end zone. The holder throws it, finds him wide open. It's now 7-7 Paige and Nolans were right there. And, of course, it's a packed house over there, which we love.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Well, a little bit of craziness there going on in Nolansville.
I got the answer. Blackman got a safety.
A safety.
Thank you, Danny Smart tweeted in. And I said, I got how they got 9. So they scored and got a safety.
Wow. Okay. That's we got our answer.
Creasy, crazy.
That absolutely is. Like they had one special team snafu last week against Lebanon, right?
Yeah, and he was not a happy man.
And he made sure to mention that when he got on air. Like he made sure, he's like, yeah, you're talking about my team really good. And I appreciate that. But we had some special team snafus, and there was a safety in that one as well. So back-to-back games, which Oakland has surrendered a safety.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we will take another break. We're here till midnight. Elijah Campbell, myself, and Big Kenny behind the glass. It's the Game Blitz. A lot of fun tonight. We'll talk to a lot of coaches once these games wrap up. This is the quarterfinal round. Next week, semifinals, and then 2 weeks down in Chattanooga, all the state championships will take place. So we'll have fun with you guys tonight. Don't go anywhere. This is the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106, 102.5, 106.3, the game brought to you by Apple Collision Centers and National Playmaker Academy.
Nailed it.
All right, welcome back here to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We got action happen fast and furious everywhere. Big Joe here alongside Big Kenny behind the glass. Elijah Campbell here tonight. Elijah, we got some updates on some games that are happening now, and things are happening quickly.
They're happening very quickly, almost faster than I can keep up with. Last we saw, so we'll go ahead and start with East Nashville. Our man Kenny has been waiting for this.
Talk to me.
Waiting for this update here. So it was 12-7 last time we spoke, with 5:39 to go in the second quarter. On a 4th-and-14, East Nashville gets a deep touchdown strike from Beard to Trey Joyner. They made it 18-7 after another failed two-point conversion. They're 0-for-3 on the two-point conversion. So East Nashville is up 18-7. And then right as we came back from break, 2:29 to go in quarter number two, Powell gets the Owls back into the game with a long touchdown run to cut the deficit 18-13. A failed two-point conversion on Smith County's part. So now with a little less than 2.5 minutes to go in the second quarter, East Nashville's up on Smith County 18-13.
Oh, okay.
Some wildness.
And Beach.
Beach scored at, it looks like maybe, what, a 65, 70-yard touchdown, Joe? A handoff up the middle and a well-executed blocked play, and the Beach tailback ran, you know, in for almost a pretty easy score. A Kane Ridge defensive back actually chased him down and stripped the ball once he was in the end zone.
Close.
But if he got him maybe a second earlier, that's a touchback. But,
it was. I mean, he was stalking him, and he just hit him right when he crossed the line. So Clay County scored up on Gordonsville 21-6. Who would Clay County, if this holds, play next week?
That's a really good question. If Clay County was to be able to hold this game against Gordonsville, I believe
Coalfield or Oliver Springs.
Oh boy, it'll be, that one's going to be Coalfield. I have not seen any scores on that one, but Coalfield played Oliver Springs earlier in the regular season because they're in the same region. Oliver Springs upset Cloudland, I think it might have been, in the first round. And when those two teams played earlier in the regular season, it was an inhumane type effort, and that's me putting it nicely. 50-0.
Okay.
They played on October 21st, so it wasn't like it was ages ago. Almost a month ago, they beat them 50-0.
Can you see the bottom of the 1A bracket? Are you able to pull that up?
Of course I can. Yeah.
You see that?
So the top half, if this one holds between Gordonsville and Clay County, will be then against Coalfield, then Fayetteville McKenzie. Winner will play the winner of Peabody and Mace.
D-Mace. So
yeah,
we got Derek Mason. Derek Mason's got his own school because I have no idea where Mace is. I'm not going to look it up. I prefer it to be D-Mace.
It's, yeah, the Memphis Academy of Science and Engineering, also known as Mace.
Is it really? Look
it
at
is.
You.
Yeah, and they're undefeated. They're one of the few.
Why do you run for governor? You know the state from Bristol to Memphis.
From Memphis. Exactly. I should be. I absolutely should be. Thank you very much. I should run for governor.
I've never seen anything like this in my life. And I grew up in this state. I know a lot about this state, but you've blown past me with all this.
See, it helped that my father was a devoted TDOT worker for 35-plus years. So if
Hats off.
That man instilled Tennessee geography into me against my will, honestly. I don't want to know all of this. I just do. It wasn't something I got to choose.
Where's Lake County?
Lake County, oh, that's over in West Tennessee, I believe.
I got that, but I'm going to see if I'm catching or not. I mean, I don't expect you to know this, but you know everything else, so I didn't know.
Is there a lake there?
I hope so.
I hope so, or else it's false advertising. You can sue over that.
I don't want to go there. Looks like McKenzie still has their lead over Fayetteville in the top part, or the bottom bracket, but the top part of that bottom bracket right now. So I'd love to see Fayetteville just run the table again and get it done. So we'll know. NBA, that score earlier, what did we have?
It was 7-7 last time we had it.
Okay, and that was a game. Was that the game they played down at Chattanooga when Marcel Reed let him down in two minutes?
That was Big Red's big revenge early in the season. They led them down, and that was the closest anybody's been to beating NBA this year, I believe.
Yeah, that was a heck of a game last year down there. And then, of course, they lost the state championship, and, of course, back up here again as well. But this Oakland game now going to the second quarter, you know, we talked to Coach Chandler Thygard last week. He's like, you know what? We're just so grateful we get another shot at Oakland and see if we can do better than the first time. And just talking to him, Elijah's kind of like, hey, there's no pressure on us.
Yeah, exactly. And so when we discussed, you know, like, oh, well, how did Blackman get 9 points? He mentioned, you know, the touchdown and a safety. Well, the safety was caused by a high snap that went over the punter's head to the back of the end zone. And I'm going to quote the great General Robert Neal in one of his, seven maxims of winning football games, and one of his team that makes the fewest mistakes will win. Don't matter how much better one team is than the other.
Right.
But when you're making mistakes and penalties like that, or penalties or maybe mistakes like a high snap over the punter's head to the back of the end zone, you're going to let a team hang around that might not be able to share the field with you, but if you let them, then crazy stuff can happen.
Do you know what General Nealon's number 8 maxim was?
What?
Don't leave your Facebook open on your laptop if you leave the room.
Oh, absolutely not, because then it's free game.
It is.
He knew. It's free game. So anytime could bleep post from your account without you being able to contest it legally, because you left it open.
He was ahead of the game back then.
Yeah, is it because they're stealing if you gave somebody the password? No. So there is no theft, no harm, no foul. It's on you.
Science Hill has cut the lead on Maryville 28-14. We bring up Maryville because the winner of that game takes on the Oakland and Blackman winner. So Maryville now, it's in the fourth quarter, 28-14. I think they hold on for that. Alcoa's up over Gatlinburg-Pittman, 49-7.
Heavens.
That game going to the fourth
quarter
as well.
Alcoa beat them 52-17 in the regular season. Like week two of the regular season, they beat them 52-17. Alcoa's, they've – I think Gary Rankin won 13 state titles. He won 13 state titles at Alcoa, 4 at Riverdale. But that's a historic –
All right, York Institute's up over Monterey, 20-7. How close are those two schools?
So Monterey is about, I would say, 35 minutes of a drive away from Jamestown. 35 to 40 minutes, depending on where from Jamestown you leave. The school is a little further into Jamestown. I wouldn't say York Institute is. That's about a 35-minute drive going up Monterey Mountain. If you're on Monterey Mountain, you're going down up Monterey Mountain to go to Jamestown.
I've never heard of Monterey Mountain.
Have you ever driven on 40, gotten off the exit in Monterey, where there's a Burger King and there's a Shell station? There's
sure
not
have.
Much over there. Yeah, you probably have.
What exit number is this? 320?
Oh, man. I used to be able to,
Crossville's 325, roughly, right?
Yeah, if Crossville's 325, it's probably about 5 or 6 exits before that.
Oh, so it's between Cookeville and Mine.
Yes, between Cookeville and Crossville.
Because Cookeville's, what, 290, 288?
Yes. So, I mean, you're somewhere in between that, right? But you get off that exit, you know, you go on, go up Monterey Mountain. That's how you get to Jamestown. So I had separated parents that lived in Cookeville and Jamestown. I spent a lot of time driving from Cookeville to Jamestown, and Monterey is the halfway point almost.
Please tell me they didn't meet at a rest stop, because then my heart's going to break for you.
It was an abandoned rest stop. That was always, as a kid, like the meeting place was an abandoned rest stop. That's a place that you don't meet. So. My girlfriend.
We got
now,
time. Go down memory lane. That's fine.
My girlfriend now. The first time I ever took her to Jamestown to meet my dad.
Right.
We drove by and I said, "Oh, well, that's the place that you know my parents used to meet to swap you know us for weekends or whatever." And she goes, "That place? And you survived?" It's like, are there skeletons in that building? It is very sketchy looking. It's one of those places that, like, looking back on it now, probably looks a little scarier than what it actually was. But
look at you. You turned to a fine, handsome young man.
I survived.
My father left me to Family Billiards one time to go out with his girlfriend.
Hey.
I was like 8 years old.
That's setting an example.
Was it not?
That's how you set an example.
We're getting it all out tonight, man. We're
this
getting
is
all
great.
All
Game right. Blitz is also a therapy session. Feel free to call in. 605-737-1029.
Kenny, weigh in if you need to, man. We're all here all night for you guys.
I'm just listening to you guys. Y'all turn into a human GPS, into a family therapy session.
That's what we got it all. It's all free. Thank you.
Exactly. We don't charge you anything.
Zero.
Gotta love it.
Oakland has gone and retaken lead 14-9. Thank you, Danny Smart, for tweeting in.
My man.
3 minutes to go in the first half. Oakland's back up 14-9 now. Well, I tell you, if Blackman could put another score on the board before halftime, Oakland goes in trailing at halftime. I know Coach Creasy's a fantastic coach, but that just plants a little bit of doubt in your mind, like, I guess we're trailing at halftime. What's going on here? So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it might put your body into a little bit of shock, you know, because, you know, in a lot of these close games, a team that's favored by a lot, a team, you know, gives them a run for their money, there's a little bit of a tension. There's a tension that makes you a little stiffer in the last half of the game where maybe you don't think as clearly because you're just trying to not lose the game. I mean, if it's a one-score game going into the fourth quarter, the way these two teams were so far separated in their first meeting, we might have something similar to that.
Let's go to the phone. The phone line brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises. Lance Mackey's at the Cane Ridge and Beach game. What's happening, Lance?
What's up, guys? I wanted to give y'all a quick update after last time we talked. JT Courtney just took in touchdown reception. And since last time we spoke, he just had a 68-yard touchdown run as Elijah so elegantly put earlier, was chased down by one of the Ravens defenders and stripped the ball at the last second. However, he'd already crossed that goal line. So it was 14-0. And then on a 4th-and-7 for Cambridge, Abdullah to Reggie Bidlow for a 10-yard touchdown, 14-7 in Antioch.
That's a nice, Lance. Thanks for the update, man. You're fading out on us. You okay?
Yeah. Am I injured?
No, you're better now. You're kind of – you're like Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future when the pitcher was fading out. So you're back now.
Oh, right. No.
Sounds like he's in Monterey Mountain right now.
All right, Lance. Thanks, brother. All right, you're welcome.
Rest in peace. Thoughts and prayers.
I guess the picture faded.
The picture did fade.
To black, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, we got to reunite then, the parents. Wade Neely tweeting in, Giles County now has got the lead over Sweetwater 14-13.
Yes.
And that Henry County is leading Springfield now 21-19.
What happened? What happened? That's great.
Crazy. All right, we got all this stuff. Elijah's going to give you a full scoreboard update. We'll do it at the top and the bottom of the hour. Great action happening in high school football quarterfinal action tonight. This is the Game Blitz brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3 of the game.